Chef Andres Padilla is a celebrated chef and educator who has worked in several award-winning kitchens across the country for more than 15 years. He brings his masterful, regionally influenced Mexican cuisine to Ambar Restaurant, located in the Plaza Hotel in downtown El Paso. He hails from Chicago, where he's held several notable roles, including culinary director for Frontera Restaurants, Chef Rick Bayless's culinary group. Today, my guest is Chef Andres Padilla. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, Chef, how did you get to El Paso?
Well, interesting enough, I grew up really close to here. I grew up in Silver City, New Mexico. And then I made my way to NMSU in Las Cruces, where I got a degree in hotel, restaurant, and tourism management. But I always had a passion for cooking. So then I made my way to Scottsdale, Arizona for culinary school. And kind of started working. That's kind of when I really got going in cooking. And I had been cooking all through college and cooking at Bennigan's, and I worked at a country club and things like that. But when I got to Arizona is when I really fell in love with the kitchen, and I knew that this was the path that I wanted to go down. So I was there for a while. I ended up working in Scottsdale, Arizona for a little while. And then I had an opportunity to move to Chicago. And so then spent some time in Chicago. But I always kind of wanted to come back home at some point. And this, I didn't realize that until kind of in the recent last couple of years. And it wasn't even my idea. It was my wife, oddly enough, who's from Chicago, born and raised, kind of threw out this idea. She said, well, we should move back to New Mexico. And I said, really? You want to move back to where I grew up and, you know, away from what you know? And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm ready for a change. And we had a conversation in June of last year, so a year ago. And out here September 1st. So I actually live in Las Cruces, but making the commute to El Paso every day.
So did you know that this opportunity for Ambar was here when you all had that conversation about coming back? Or was it, we want to come back, and then you just kind of were looking for those opportunities?
When we kind of decided that we wanted to be here, it was like, okay, well, I need to find work. My wife's a nurse, so we knew for her it wouldn't be a problem.
She's good. Yeah, she can work anywhere.
So that wasn't kind of the issue. But for me, especially leaving a market like Chicago, two big concerns were, well, is there work? You know, mm-hmm. And looking for Las Cruces mostly. And the other one was, am I going to have to take a really severe pay cut in order to, you know, because you sustain a lifestyle and, you know, and I know the cost of living was different, but, you know, and I knew going into it, I would have to, but, you know, is it going to be possible to make it work? So I started pounding the pavement. I've always had a passion for teaching, and I kind of was hoping to look into getting into NMSU, the program I graduated from, and possibly get in on the ground and just kind of work my way into the educational system somewhat.
Yeah.
But I knew it was a long shot. So I also started looking for opportunities, chef opportunities. Luckily enough, there was a few. There was one in Las Cruces and there were a couple out here in El Paso. And I applied for all three and I actually got called by all three.
You're a hot commodity.
It was very fortunate to have that problem. And then from there, I started courting two of the three pretty seriously, this being one of them. They decided to fly me out. They said, you know, we want to fly you out to El Paso. We want you to do a tasting. We'd like to meet you. I said, well, I'm courting other offers. I just wanted to be 100% honest with you. And I didn't want to spend their money if I, you know, I wasn't for sure going to take this job.
Right.
And they said, well, we're willing to take the chance. We'd love to meet you and let's see what you're doing. I'll never forget when I flew out here because I flew out here on August 4th.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was definitely a kind of wild, seeing the airport so crazy and then seeing absolutely nobody out on Sunday. And that's the day that I was kind of getting settled in and getting my bearings. And like, I had to do a tasting on Monday and tasting went really well. I met the team of the time, which was the GM Wolfgang. And we had a couple other people who I was able to meet and kind of talk to. And I almost immediately knew that this was going to be the one. When I coming out here, I didn't think it was.
Okay, so can I ask, what did you make for that tasting menu? Like, how do you decide that? And yeah, what did you make?
They gave me a kind of an outline. They said, we want you to make, there's five courses. We wanted you to make five different dishes. And they had sent me sample menus for what the vision that they had early on, and to give me, you know, kind of the path that they were thinking about going down. But they said, we want to see you. We want to see what you can do. We want to see your range. They asked me to do 5 courses. I think I did 9 or 10.
Oh my gosh. Was it because you couldn't decide or were you trying to show off?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both. Certain. I didn't know exactly what kind of style of service. And coming from where I was running 6 different restaurants at the time. And they were the whole gamut from quick service and then a taqueria with a brewery all the way to Topolobampo, which was our 4-star Michelin star dining room and everything in between. So I knew it was going to be an upscale project, but I didn't know how refined and how, you know, what the level of service was going to be. So I kind of played a little bit into everything. I started very elegant with some marisqueria, some ceviche and an aguachile. I think I did 2 ceviches. I did 2 aguachiles. And then I went into, I think I did a composed salad. And then I went into tacos. And I literally just did a la carte tacos. And then from there, I went into platos fuertes and did, you know, traditional Mexican. I did a pescado a la veracruzana, which was very traditional. And then I did this really cool braised short rib and pasilla black garlic. It's actually on our menu right now. That same exact dish that I presented to ownership and my GM when I came for the tasting. I did one dessert. Just, it's not my strongest suit, but I do a couple of things pretty well. So I did a mesquite bean flour chocolate cake with toasted meringue and chocolate ganache. And we did it in August. So I think I was using grilled peaches or something like that. So I felt really strong about it. And when I sat down afterwards, we all kind of agreed that this might work out. So
you fast forward to no one can plan for a pandemic. I mean, this is
totally
unprecedented. And out of all the industries that are hit, hospitality and restaurants are right up there. And, you know, I was talking to one of the architects that worked on the plaza, and he's like, you know, when the plaza first opened, it was right in the heat of the Great Depression. So it's just part of the resiliency of the plaza, I'm guessing. I don't know. How does that feel for you in this moment?
It was difficult. You know, I think for a while there, we were kind of in our own bubble because we were getting ready to open the hotel. And the date had been pushed back a few times. And originally I came out in September and started on September 16th, thinking we were going to open in November. You know, then we ran into delays and then it got pushed back. And then we got pushed back. I think we ended up pushing back to April and then the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. It was wild because, you know, I still speak to so many people in Chicago, and Chicago got hit very hard.
Yeah, it's a huge culinary town.
It's a restaurant city. I felt very protected in a sense, not from the virus, but I felt protected because, well, we still have to get the hotel ready because we're going to open at some point.
This is going to happen.
You know, we were lucky to carry on through all of that. And, you know, we were a small staff. It was almost just the executive team and a few others that we had, but we were doing a lot of things like receiving. We received pallets of equipment. We received, you know, truckloads of gear. So there was still a lot of work to be done, but we weren't in a place where we could bring on staff just yet. So we had our hands full, but we were, again, lucky enough to work and still get the hotel ready. But also I was really kind of feeling it because so many of my friends and colleagues were being laid off or being furloughed. And we had even hired some staff. We just hired them. They just got in time and we were able to start training for few short weeks, and then we had to furlough the staff that we hired. So mentally it was hard. Everybody's kind of asking themselves, like, what do we do? How do we come out on the other side? Where is the other side? And nobody has the answer. And it leveled the playing field across all, I mean, like you said, especially hospitality and restaurants, but it leveled the playing field across all industries. But it wasn't just our country, it was the rest of the world. So for so many people to be affected and the entire world to be affected and no one has the answer gives you this feeling of uncertainty, this feeling of like helplessness and everything like that. And, you know, so happy to be kind of on the other side of it, I guess, you know, we're opening back up and trying to do it as safe as we can and take care of ourselves, you know, in hopes that it's going to just get better and we're going to be slamming, jamming and what I'm used to.
I know it's going to happen because it has to. The thing is like when, right? So we're all holding on because, I mean, I was reading about you and your food. We didn't even get to talk too much about food because we're in a strange place. We'll have to have you back so we can talk about food. But I mean, you're doing it and we're glad that you're here. And I know that the dining room is open at a certain capacity, a smaller capacity. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're running at 75%. Right now we're doing reservation only. You know, we're trying to control it as best we can. If it's, you know, if there's room in the dining room and there's, you know, you happen to walk in, there's a very slight chance you might be able to get in, but because of the demand, we're running reservation only right now, and we're running at 75%.
So there you have it. Make your reservation at Ambar and taste Chef Andres's food. I can't wait. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.